Welcome to the People Building Podcast, brought to you by hypnotherapy and NLP trainer Gemma Bailey. If you're looking to create powerful, positive change in your life, please visit www.peoplebuilding.co.uk.
Hello, people, and welcome to the People Building Podcast on this day, Wednesday, the 21st of April, 2010. So, what a couple of weeks I've had, goodness me. I'm actually supposed to not be here right now. I'm supposed to be in Vegas on holiday. And what's happened is there was a small issue with a volcano in Iceland that's really kind of messed up my plans. So I was due to be recording this show on Tuesday. I'm actually recording the show on Wednesday, so this is probably as live as it gets, to be honest. And what happened is last week we found out that this volcano was doing its thing in Iceland, and I said, gosh, good job it's doing it last week and not the week of our holiday. And it just kept going, didn't it? So I'm still in the UK. It's a bit of a bummer, really. And then to top it all off, my car broke down, and then I got sick, and I've had a cough, hence the reason why my voice is a little bit croaky and a bit weak in parts today. And I coughed so much that I busted a rib. So it's been great fun the last couple of weeks. Been really under the weather. But never mind, it's all picking up now. Everything's taking shape and smoothing itself out. Everything's back on the road to recovery, so we don't quite know when the holiday will be. The car is fixed, and the cough's getting better. I did have to cancel a few sessions with some of my clients because I literally didn't have any voice left, but it's getting back there now. So and the rib's recovering, so everything's taking shape in the right ways. It's all good. It's one of those times where the NLP type stuff really does come into its own, because despite all of this, and despite the occasional grump about it all, generally I'm all right with it. You know, it's not ideal, but life happens, and you know, I'll get over it. Everything's fine, everything's getting better. So there you go, there's the positive mental attitude still coming through despite the challenges. Now, what was really good was that at the weekend I went to see Richard Bandler, and I want to share some of that experience with you today. What was not so good was that I didn't have a voice for the entire weekend. I couldn't speak and I was coughing and had to keep leaving the room, which was a bit embarrassing. But I did attend the advanced NLP training with Richard Bandler and John Lavelle from Friday till Sunday last week. And just got a few snippets of absolute genuine gold, like really, really good stuff. So I want to be able to share that with you today. But before I do, let's start, as we always do, by taking a look at Hello People, the People Building newsletter. So, if you're not already signed up to the newsletter, you know what to do. Visit peoplebuilding.co.uk and you can subscribe directly to the newsletter. And when you do, you get a special free gift just for you. In the newsletter today, in the Who We're Loving section, we have the Mindful Awareness Training System. Now, what's great about this is this is a system that gives you peace of mind in a very short space of time, in just 11 minutes. So the creator of this system has put together its various different audio, so there's some MP3s in there. There's also a PDF guidebook, plus 6 coaching emails for you, and this is all for just $39, plus there is a 100% money back guarantee. So I think this is something that's really worth looking at, because I know lots of you have done some hypnosis, some NLP type stuff in the past, but what's great about this is it's just for kind of picking up those bits and bobs that are still in the way, you know, those little bits of worry, those little negativities that still creep in from time to time. And because this is put together so that it gradually strengthens your focus, that's how you can then begin to create some real strong lasting change. So that's in the Who We're Loving section of the People Building newsletter. And the only way to get that is if you already received the newsletter. So if you don't get the newsletter, and that sounds like an interesting system to you, then you need to sign up. So remember to do that via the website. The article for today is all about feeling some never again. Now, this ties in with the weekend I spent with Richard Bandler, because this was something that he said on the last day of the training, and I absolutely loved it. I thought it made absolute perfect sense. So the article is talking about the feeling of never again. Now, you've all experienced that with something at some stage in your life, when you've had some sort of experience and you suddenly think, God, I'm never doing that ever again. That's it. Enough is enough. What's great about the way that he utilises that feeling is he starts applying that with the couple of ladies he was working with on stage to some negative emotions that they'd kept rerunning every single day. It related to some negative experience from the past. What was really elegant about how he did this was that we didn't actually know what the negative experiences were. We had no idea about them. He just got them to do this activity in their own mind whilst on stage. And then at the end, he said to them, now we're going to apply some feeling of never again. We're never going to go back to those old thoughts and feelings again. So it's a really interesting article. Do take a look at that. If you're not signed up to the newsletter but you'd like to get your hands on that article, all you have to do is go to the People Building website. It's on the front page at the moment. And it will also be listed in the articles category as well. Excuse me, the voice is going again. And what's great with the articles online at the moment is that, I'll say at the moment, ongoing, is that you can make comments about the articles that I write. So you can give them a star rating to sort of symbolise how good it was. So anything between 0 up to 5 stars. And you can also write a comment and provide some of your own feedback related to the content of that article. And our other news section is all about Jack Lester. He's a Chesterfield football player, and he's actually got involved in the world of NLP. He's using NLP to improve his game. So have a look at that. That article comes from givemefootball.com. And we've also got the joke section, the motivational quote, and our feedback for today with our thumbs up, thumbs down is, should hypnotherapy training only be at a degree level? So instead of doing the workshops, diplomas and home studies, should the only way for hypnotherapists to become qualified be via doing a professional degree? Now, I ask this question because a friend of mine is actually going to be working on the board for the professional hypnotherapy degree, which is taking place, I think it might be, and I could be wrong here, I think it might be Southampton University, who are going to be providing the hypnotherapy degree. And it's something I'm really interested in. I'd love to do it if I had the time. More, I suppose, for my own personal growth, because I've never done anything at a degree kind of level before. But there is this issue throughout the world of hypnotherapy with people being qualified at different standards. You know, some people are better at it than others. And generally what happens with the training schools, although this doesn't apply to people building, but generally with the training schools, providing you've paid for the training, you get the qualification. And I don't necessarily think that that's always the right way forward. So anyway, there's your People Building newsletter. And our topic for today is all about anxiety. And I just paused there because I ran off to get a cough sweet. So I'll probably sound even worse now. I'll probably start dribbling in a minute because I've got this giant cough sweet in my mouth. What's great about these cough sweets is that they taste like blackjacks. Now, I might be showing my age a bit here, but do you remember the sweets blackjacks? They were like chewy little squares, and they were totally black. They used to turn your tongue black as well. And they were lovely. They had a sort of nice licorice-y, aniseed-y type taste to them. And we used to get them in penny sweets at my local shop. There you go. All right, so anxiety. Let's talk about that now then. Now, this is quite a common problem. I got these statistics from Bupa, the UK Bupa website, and they've said that 1 in 10 people in the UK have some sort of anxiety-related issue that interferes with their normal life. Excessive anxiety is often associated with other mental problems such as depression, and anxiety is only considered to be a mental health problem when it's long-lasting, severe, and is interfering with everyday activities. But listen to this fact. Anxiety attacks usually last for only 5 or 10 minutes. Now, if you're someone who has ever had anxiety, and I think we all have at some stage, most of us is ha have had the experience of being anxious, but then the feeling has passed and we've forgotten about it. But I think, generally people can relate to this state of anxiety and what the feeling feels like. But anyone who's had any kind of prolonged issues with anxiety, who's had, a period of anxiety attacks or anything like that, would probably say that it kind of starts to envelop all of their world. It sort of forms the basis for their day. And yet, reading these statistics, it's saying that the attacks only last for 5 or 10 minutes. And I think what that tells us is that the feeling is so strong and so intense that even though it's just a tiny, tiny fraction, a tiny fragment of what might be going on in any one 24-hour period, that the intensity of the feeling is so strong, even those 5 or 10 minutes seem like an absolute lifetime. Now, here's some key things for you to consider when thinking about anxiety. If you ever have, or you know anyone who has experienced the feeling of being anxious and it's causing them a problem, ask them to make it worse. Now, that sounds a little bit evil and twisted, but here's the thing. If you can make the feeling worse, then you can also make the feeling better. What that tells us already, if you can intensify that feeling and make yourself feel worse, is that you are controlling that feeling. You are doing it. You're doing it to yourself. You have control over it if you can make it worse. And we can also then presuppose that if you can make it worse, that you can make it better just by doing the opposite to what you're doing already. So if with that feeling, that anxious feeling that's inside, you can make it worse by spinning it faster and making it seem bigger and more intense, or tightening your muscles up further, or collapsing your lungs down and shrinking down your breathing so you're getting less oxygen into your body. If you can do those things to make it worse, then you just have to do the opposite to start getting the feeling under control and making yourself feel better. So instead of spinning the feeling fast, you see what happens if you slow it down and spin it back the other way. Instead of shrinking down into your body and, collapsing those lungs down so they don't get much oxygen in, instead you sit yourself up and have them open and lots of air going in. If you notice that you can imagine in your mind making the feeling bigger and it makes it worse, then imagine in your mind making it smaller to make it better. Now, there's a few bits that really I'm going to be taking from the Bandler experience that I had at the weekend, because he talked a lot about anxiety then, so we might as well use that to our benefit in the show today. One of the things he was talking about is the kind of triggers that you have. Now, if you can say to someone who has anxiety, "Go on then, get anxious now, do it now." If they can do it there and then, in the moment, they have such great control over their anxiety because they can bring it on whenever they want to. So again, that tells us that they can do the opposite, that they can undo that, whatever it is that's bringing the feeling on. So if you can say to them, "Do it now," and they go, "Yeah, I can do it now," then you start to pick apart what it is that they have to think in order to be able to create the feeling in the moment of now. What do they have to think? What do they have to do with their body? What do they have to breathe like in order to make it happen now? And when you know what those things are, those are the things that need to be avoided if they don't want to be doing anxiety. Now, if they don't know how to do it there and then in the moment once they're sat there in front of you, then what do they need to do in order to make it happen? If it was a client of mine, I'd say, "Okay, can you do it now? Can you make yourself anxious now?" And if they say, "No," then I say, "Well, what do you need to do then? Where do we need to be? What's the scenario we need to get ourselves into to have it happen now?" And Dr. Bandler was talking about this on Sunday, and he said that he had this client who came to see him, and he had some sort of anxiety-related issue, lots of sort of panic emotions going on. And he said to him, "Can you do it now?" And the guy said, No, I can't do it now." And this guy had a kind of issue where he wasn't able to venture outside of his home. So he hadn't left his home for about a year, and he had a car, it was sitting on the drive, and he used to keep the car clean and tidy and, you know, tune the engine up, but he'd never drive it anywhere. So Dr. Banda said to him, "What do we need to do in order to get you running this panic attack sensation in the here and now?" And the guy said, "Well, usually it starts when I step outside my front door." And he goes, "Great, let's step outside the front door then." So they got outside the front door and he said, "How are you feeling?" And he goes, it doesn't really seem to be working too well today. And so Dr. Bandler says, "Oh, really? So what, you've forgotten how to do it now? You know, what's going on," kind of thing. And the whole time he's having this conversation with him, is giving these extra suggestions about, "So you've forgotten how to do it? Are you telling me you can't do it now?" And all these sorts of things. So the guy says, no, "I'm sure I can. I'm sure I can do it." You know, he's really determined to get himself into his bad state. So Dr. Bandler says, "Okay, well, maybe we need to venture a little bit further down the road and see how you're feeling then." And the guy said, "Well, yeah, you know, I used to walk my dog in the park over the road until I started to get panicky. So maybe if we went over there, I could start to feel the panic." So he says, "Great, let's go to the park." So they step over the road into the park and he says, "How are you doing?" And he says, "Well, you know, it's there a little bit, but not as intense as it usually is, actually." And so Dr. Bandler says to him, "Well, what do you normally say to yourself that makes it seem worse and gets it to escalate so badly for you? What is it that you're thinking to yourself usually in your head that perhaps you're not thinking now?" And like I said, "Well, usually I'm kind of, you know, get to this stage and I'm thinking to myself, you know, panic. Have I got any panic? Is there any panic going on?" And Dr. Bandler says, "Right, so it's all about panic. So if you want to say panic to yourself to kind of kick it off, let's try it in this way." So basically what he does now is he gets the guy to say the same thing that he would usually say to himself, but he gets him to say it in a completely different way. Because normally when this guy talks about panic to himself, in his mind, the voice, his internal voice would be going, "Panic, am I panicking yet? Do I have any panic?" Something like this. So Dr. Bandler says, "Let's try it in this way instead." And he gets this guy to put his arms out to the sides of him. So a bit like, I'm just doing it now so I can, it's a very visual thing. Let me see how I can best describe it to you. All right, so let's imagine that you're doing some meditation and you're kind of sitting in the, what's that sort of Zen state? That, is it the lotus position or something like that? I need to double check that now just in case it's some dodgy sexual position, something from Kama Sutra instead. No, it's fine. It's the lotus position. So just the arms of that positioning. So like the thumb and the middle fingers touching, and but they were up. So a bit like, you know, out like a scarecrow. So he's got the guy to kind of stand like this with his arms out, with his fingers like this. And instead of in his head saying, "Am I panicking? Do I have panic yet?" Instead, he's got him to do panic, 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 panic. Panic, 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 like this. And he's got him saying it out loud as well. And he says, "Okay, so let's just, you know, take the route that you would normally take when you're walking your dog. And we'll just do this panic, 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 all the way there." So they're doing it. And then the guy says, "You know, it's really not working. Like, I'm not doing it in the same way that I normally do it. And it doesn't seem to be working." And Dr. Banda's saying, "Gosh, that's really curious, isn't it? I wonder if, you know, is there anything that would really, every single time, would totally kick it off?" And the guy says, "Well, there's a cafe at the bottom of the park. And I had a really, really bad time. One time when I went to that cafe, just the panic was unbearable." So he says, "Great, let's go to the cafe." So they walk down to the cafe together, both with their arms out, going panic, 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 panic. And when they get to the cafe, the guy says, "Actually, do you want to get a cup of tea?" So he goes into the cafe and Dr. Bandler waits outside. And he said he was sitting outside for ages. And then he suddenly thought, "Gee, you know, I better check up and make sure that he's okay, because he's been a while. It shouldn't take that long." So he went up and he looked through the window and he saw the guy queuing up to get the teas. And he was standing there in the queue going, "Panic, panic, panic, panic. Panic, panic," and then just waved to him out the window and then carried on, panic, 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 and managed to do the whole thing without having a panic attack. How cool is that? Now, another cool thing which is going to be useful for you to remember, actually, this is a really good analogy that that Dr. Bandler came up with over the weekend and thought, actually, that's a really useful way, particularly if you are a therapist, a useful way for you to explain to your clients how they're storing positive and negative memories in their minds. And it also a little bit ties in with the example I just gave you, because we had that guy there in the cafe. Now, your human brain, on the basis that your brain is human, obviously, it doesn't forget memories and experiences. So unlike a computer where you can delete files that you don't want, you can't do that in your brain. They're always stored in there somewhere. So in order for us to be able to go through life without continuously referring back to negative memories and negative experiences, we need to know how to program our mind in such a way that it always refers back to positive memories and experiences, instead of always focusing on the negative ones, because that's usually where we're going wrong. You know, if we're having an experience where every day there is a negative thought that's being replayed, then actually what we want to start training our brain to do is to refer back to positive experiences and memories instead. And the way that Dr. Bandler explained this is, it's a bit like plates in a cafe. Now, you know, in a cafe, when they have that the sort of spring mount that they load the plates onto. So you take a plate and then the spring kind of pumps up a little bit, and then there's another plate there, and you take off a plate and then it pumps up a bit more, and then there's another plate there. You understand the device I'm talking about. So he was saying about how what we don't want is for all the dirty plates, i.e. the negative ones, to be left on top, because then what happens is when you go to pick one up, you've got a dirty one there. So actually you want to put all your dirty, i.e. negative ones, on first. And the important step is that what goes on top of all those negative emotions, all of those negative memories, all of those dirty plates, is clean, positive ones. So you stack it up with clean, positive ones, so that every time you go to take one, there's always something good there. And I thought that's a really nice way of explaining it to people who perhaps don't quite understand or don't have any kind of metaphor for how their brain is working. And it's the same with negative hallucinations. If you've ever had the experience of putting your keys down somewhere and then you go and look for them and they're not there, and a moment later you look in the same place and there they are, and they've been there the whole time, but for some reason your brain had deleted them. What's actually happening is that say like it was your keys on the table, you've put another table on top of the table. So it's cancelled out the keys being there. You've put something on top of the thing that you don't see. Now, you can put things on top of the things that you don't want to see as well. If you have a negative memory that you're consistently referring back to, be it any kind of negative thing, or be it related directly to anxiety. You know, the last time I did this, I had an anxiety attack. The last time I went here, I had an anxiety attack. If you've got something like that, all you have to do is create for yourself a new memory to put on top of the one that you don't want to keep referring back to. And here's something else. How much fun are you having? Now, this is something I've talked about before in the show, when I've said, actually, if you've got some sort of depression, some kind of negativity going on for you, actually do an evaluation of how much fun you consciously make an effort to go out and have. And the chances are it's not nearly where it needs to be. And what I really enjoyed about the weekend with Richard and with John overall was that there was this emphasis on laughing, giggling, having fun, having, you know, doing stuff that you like. If you don't do what you like in your life, you can expect that you're going to end up feeling bad about it. So if you're, you know, looking on your life and you think, you know what, it's just not all that I wanted it to be. I'm not feeling the way I want to be. I'm not going into positive states on a consistent basis. It's probably because you're doing stuff in your life that you don't like. And it could be in just one context, such as your work or your relationship. Or it could be overall. You might need to have a look at the overall package of your life and have a think about how you can start now injecting some more fun and laughter and happiness into the life that you're having. Now, the last thing which I touched upon in the article today, in the newsletter, was this feeling of feel some never again. Now, because I'm poorly sick today and I have to keep pausing to cough, I'm going to be a bit lazy and I'm simply going to read you the article to give you a sense of what the feeling of never again feels like. Here's the article, Feel Some Never Again. Over the weekend, I attended an advanced NLP training course where Richard Bandler and John Laval were both teaching. Lots of the course was made up of content previously at practitioner and master practitioner level, but it was well worth attending just for the snippets of gold that effortlessly fall from Richard Bandler's lips. I'm also pleased to report that Dr. Bandler was looking happier and healthier than he was when I saw him just before Christmas last year. This he attributes to his new wife, who is clearly taking good care of him. Thank goodness I decided to give him a second shot after last year I thought he was a bit of a grumpy old man, but he was full of mischief and fun at the weekend and shared some very good metaphors and anecdotes from therapy. I would recommend the Advanced NLP Training course to anyone who feels they need a refresher of the linguistic elements of their NLP training. However, it is also useful to simply reconnect with others who have a similar interest to explore and the many different ways in which each individual interprets and uses NLP. Throughout the weekend, I wrote limited notes as my linguistics are pretty good and I remember most of the Meta and Milton model off the top of my head. The notes I did take were more key points or useful phrases. One such useful phrase was feel some never again. Dr. Bandler used this with a couple of ladies who were up on the stage, having volunteered when asked if there was some thought that they spent time thinking of each day that made them feel bad. Dr. Bandler had them both in trance and adjusted the submodalities of the pictures they were creating by shrinking down the image of the old event and flickering from colour to black and white. He also played some silly circus music to get the women in a more giggly, resourceful state. It's also important to note that before beginning any work with them, he asked them how much time they were spending on the bad thoughts each day. Then he multiplied that by 10 years and told them how much time they would have wasted. Basically, it was great leverage. He asked the women what else they could consider doing with the thousands of hours they'd wasted on feeling bad, and this gets them planning for the future in a more resourceful state. Then towards the end of his work with them, he asked them to feel some never again. Never again is the feeling that explains the saying, the grain of straw that broke the camel's back. It's the feeling you had when you realised you were too old to have hangovers anymore, so you would no longer mix your drinks on a night out. It's the feeling you have after being treated badly and suddenly decide to walk away or to face up to whatever it is you have been allowing to make yourself to feel bad about. Then, when you tap into that feeling, you can apply it to whatever problem you want to stop spending your time and energy on. Voila, problem solved. What problem?
PeopleBuilding.co.uk provide NLP and hypnotherapy training courses throughout Southeast England in the United Kingdom. For more information about their courses, please visit www.peoplebuilding.co.uk.
Okie dokie. So the script I want to share with you today ties in with our topic of anxiety, because this is actually a script for phobias. But here's the thing, it's a metaphor. And I feel a bit bad about only sharing a segment of it with you, because firstly, it's a story and I can't just pick it up mid-story because it wouldn't make sense. But also, I can't just read you the first half, because then you're going to be left in limbo land. And I think that would be bad for you. I think you need to know the conclusion of this. So as a special treat just for today, I'm going to read you the entire script. This is the script of Metaphor for Ignoring Phobias. It's also available as a hypnosis download. So it comes with a full hypnotic induction and deepener with the backing music, and then the script that I'm about to read to you now. And you can download that from iTunes or directly from the People Building website. So this is a Metaphor for Ignoring Phobias. There was once a keen gardener who tended to a beautiful rose garden not too far from here. He grew the most beautiful romantic roses you could ever imagine, every colour of the rainbow, strong with petals as soft as luxury velvet and a strong, sweet, perfumed aroma that would overwhelm you as you walked past the garden. The roses were precious. Like memories, they had been planted for significant times or events. Each one had a different story, some happy, some sad, some for those he had loved, some for those he had lost, and he came to the garden every day to take care of these memories, which gave him a sense of peace and love, as well as being the one place in the world where he could come and relax and escape from the challenging and demanding world. One day the diligent gardener was trimming the dead flowers from one of his most beautifully coloured rose bushes, you know the colour I mean, and as he did so, a thorn broke from the plant and entered his thumb. The man swore and cursed, and although the wound was bleeding, he was unable to remove the thorn from inside his thumb. He went home that night and bathed his thumb in warm water and bicarbonate of soda, but still the thorn would not budge. Eventually, his wife told him to leave it. She said, "Your body is an intelligent organism. It will always expel the things that it no longer requires, and you do not need to worry about it doing that. Just relax and let it do its job. It has been doing this so many years that I'm sure it has a better idea about what to do than you do." So the gardener went to bed that night, with the thorn from the rose still lodged in his thumb. In the morning, when the gardener had awoke, for a few moments he had forgotten about his thumb. Then, when he checked it, he found that the thorn was no longer there. His body had expelled it, and with good reason. And it was resting, clean, in the corner of his bed. Well, you would think that that would be the end of the story. But in fact, it is not. The gardener went back to work that morning to continue tending to the gardens as normal, except he found himself to be extremely cautious of the thorns, which for so long had not been a bother to him. He was so anxious, in fact, that not only was he seeing thorns all over the place, he began to count them, and certain that he could no longer abide them, he removed them all. He worked so frenziedly he didn't notice the sun shining, or the beautiful smell of the flowers, or the colours, or even when the sky clouded and began to rain. That night he went home, shattered and exhausted, but certain that he had removed the thorns from each plant. When his wife looked at him, she inquired as to what was the matter, and when he told her, she simply said, "This obsession will not do your health any good." The next day, which I think was a Thursday, the gardener returned to work, horrified to discover that every rosebush and plant had begun to regrow its thorns. At a loss, the gardener made a conscious decision to ignore the thorns. He said to himself, "Don't look at the thorns. Don't touch the thorns. I will not get cut or scratched by these thorns." Yet despite his thoughts and efforts, the gardener became even more cut and scratched than he had ever been in all of his working life. He sat down in despair, looking at his hands and how bad they appeared to look. A magician who had been watching the garden for some time came to offer some advice. The gardener told the magician all about the thorns and how he just couldn't seem to get rid of the problem because the thorns kept on growing, and how when he'd said to himself in his head, "Don't look at the thorns, don't touch the thorns, I will not get cut or scratched by the thorns," that he had become more cut and scratched than ever before. So the magician explained that in life, you get more of what you focus on. And the gardener said, "I wasn't focusing on the thorns, I was telling myself not to." So the magician explained, "Don't look at the thorns, presuppose that there are thorns, and that you can see them and touch them. I will not get cut or scratched by the thorns, presuppose that not only are there thorns, but you have the ability to cut and scratch yourself. So what is the solution?" The solution is to focus on what you do want more of. Have you noticed the scent of the flowers today? Or the new bud over there, just opening? Or the cool breeze, or the sound of the children playing? The gardener had not noticed any of these things. He said, "No, I've been too busy thinking about..." And at that point, the magician cast a spell. He didn't magic away all of the thorns. He didn't make them invisible either. The problem was still there. A natural problem. There for a good reason. What the magician did was quite simply to make the gardener focus only on the most beautiful elements of the roses. The smells, the colours, the feel of the velvety petals. And what happened is the focus became the reality, and the problems that were no longer focused on were no longer there. So although the gardener couldn't make the thorns go away, he learned not to focus on them, and focus instead on all of the good and wonderful things. His beliefs became his reality. So now there is no pain, and only love and roses. Oh, I really like that script. It's really good. I know I say that every week, but I really like that one. And I've actually used that one a couple of times this week with some kids that have had phobias. I've used it for a couple of phobia issues, and it's worked brilliantly because it's, you know, it's a good one for kids because they get to hear the story content of it, and they're so engaged with that they completely bypass the unconscious messages that are hidden away in there. Perhaps you did too. All right, now let's have some feedback from you guys out there in listener land. And can I just say, ahead of the feedback that I'm going to share with you today, that I've had so many emails after last week's show. Thank you all so much for getting in touch. And I'm pleased that you're pleased that the show is not ending, and that, you know, my work priorities are finally getting ironed out in the right way, and that I'm going to have some more time to have a life and all of those sorts of things. It still seems like ages away. June seems like a very long time away, but it will come around soon enough. And and I'm, you know, really pleased with the response that I had from you. And I know it was cheeky, and it was an excellent marketing ploy on my part. Well done, me. And we got to number one with that show on the iTunes Alternative Health download chart. We were number one that day because people were so keen to hear what was going to happen next and what I was going to be doing and what was going to happen with the show. And I think we got up to number 8 in the health download chart on iTunes for the UK. So thank you, everybody. All right, here's the feedback that I've had from you. This is from a few months back, because I'm behind on sharing the feedback because I get so much. I hear from you guys all the time and I love it. Do continue. It's Gemma at peoplebuilding.co.uk if you'd like to get in touch or suggest anything for future shows. So this one came in from Ken, who said, "Loving the podcast and newsletters, great job. Any chance you could do a hypnosis audio for insomnia? About a year ago, I have been falling asleep okay, but waking up at two or three and then can't sleep. My mind is fully awake and I'm usually thinking about work. I've tried sleeping tablets, listening to audiobooks, acupuncture, etc., and I'm having real trouble quietening my mind. I know you did a podcast on sleep the other month, and I would like to try a sleep hypnosis if possible. I think I need to be able to switch off, but can't find the off switch. Just check out the time I'm sending this." Oh no, I don't know what time it was. I can't see it now because I haven't got it on the email. But clearly it was the early wee small hours, and Ken had been awake for hours already. So a couple of things. Yes, there is now a sleep audio for you to download off the People Building website and off of iTunes. And this one I got from Mr. Bandler at the weekend. Excuse me. He said, what was it? Where have I got this written down? Because I thought, oh, that's quite cool, actually. He was talking about people counting sheep. Right, here it is. Insomnia. Counting sheep. He said, counting sheep works really well. But where people go wrong is that they count the sheep too fast. Count sheep, but count slower. See one every 5 minutes. So there you go. See how that works out for you, Ken. This one came in from Luke. He said, "I really enjoy your podcast. I look forward to your newsletter." And Han said, "Thank you for your podcast. I haven't felt down since I started listening a week ago." Bless you. You're welcome, Hans. And Jen got in touch to say, "I discovered your podcast today. Thank you for being so kind as to make them available on iTunes. I'm looking for something that might help me to help take me out of a certain spiral of thoughts that I find myself in quite often. I'm in a relationship and tend to overthink the actions of my boyfriend and read into every situation. It's exhausting me, and I would love to have a way to calm my anxieties and stop essentially wanting for the relationship to end. Are there any existing podcasts or anything that you think may be helpful? Also, how would a person go about getting a personalised one? I think that might be a good option. So I think that actually that's quite, there's a few good show suggestions in there that come to mind. So one useful one that we could look at in the future would be to cover something on jealousy. And another one would be, it's an interesting thing she says there about waiting for the relationship to end. I don't know if that's because it's not a good relationship, Jen. Perhaps you need to look at that. Also, with regards to the personalised hypnosis audios, yes, I can do those for you. Drop me an email. Let me know what it is that you're currently doing and want to stop doing, and what it is that you want to be doing instead, so that I've got an idea of what it is that I need to put together for you. And it's £50 to get a hypnosis audio, a personalised one done for you. Just get in touch. Rick got in touch and simply said, keep up the good work. Thanks. And Yoko from Japan said, I found your podcast and started listening to it recently. I really love your podcast, though I don't fully understand English. The music at the beginning always makes me relax. What is that music? I want to know. Your voice and music are very comforting for me. It's also very helpful because I always tend to worry too much before many things. Especially now, I really need someone's advice to gain my self-confidence as I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to study English in Australia in November. Go you! Well done, Yoko. Yuko. I think that's how I say it, actually. Y-U-K-O, Yuko. I'm so excited, but at the same time, I tend to be worried too much about what's happening in the future. So thank you for your podcast. I love it. I listen to it when I go to bed as well. Nice to meet you. And I'd really love to chat with you sometime. You're welcome. And there's loads of confidence audios available on the website. There's a whole package of confidence audios, which if you buy the whole lot, you get a massive discount instead of buying them individually. So definitely have a look at that, Yuko, and good luck with the studying of English. I really hope you do well out there in Australia. I'd love to go there sometime. Jasmine got in touch to say, I bought the organisation MP3 download, listened to it once, and now it is gone. This is my first purchase of your site. What did I do wrong? It did not go into my iTunes. I don't know how to listen to it again. By the way, I did enjoy it, and I'm going through all your free podcasts as well. Thank you. So, Jasmine, what you need to do is when you download one of our audios, it will get saved onto your computer, and it only goes into iTunes if you drag it and drop it into your iTunes library. However, if you buy it on iTunes, then it will automatically go into your iTunes library. Problem solved. Diego got in touch to say, I listened to your recent podcast and like what I heard. I would like to subscribe to your newsletter. And if I remember correctly, I think you mentioned something about a special podcast. If so, I'd like to subscribe to it. Please let me know. So to subscribe to the regular newsletter, you can do it directly through the People Building website. And if you want to subscribe to the video podcast, I don't think I've mentioned that for a while. So video podcast goes out every other Wednesday, but not this Wednesday. So on the opposite one to the regular podcast. It's about 10 minutes long. As a maximum, it's published on YouTube, so you can see all the old ones on the People Building channel on YouTube if you want to catch up on those. The benefit of subscribing to the video podcast is that you get some sort of free or discounted gift alongside the video, which you wouldn't get if you were just watching it on iTunes. So when it's sent directly to your inbox, you also get some kind of special offer as well. If you want to subscribe to the video podcast, there is only one way to do it. You have to email me directly, put video podcast in the subject line, and then I will sign you up. There's no other way of getting onto that one because it's a bit like a special elite secret club. So if you'd like to get the video podcast, just let me know. Sally got in touch to say, I discovered your podcast this week. Sounds great. I'd like to sign up for the newsletter. And Chris from Atlanta said, your podcasts are very insightful. Thank you for your energy and effort. You've got my vote for the best podcast ever. And last but not least was a huge email that came in from Doug. Doug's a friend of the show. He said, I wanted to write and tell you how in 2 weeks listening to your podcast has helped me. I was given your podcast on a CD from a friend. I've always been aware of NLP as NLP Academy is opposite my workplace. For the last 6 months, I've been feeling really down about everything, really. And I went to the doctor a month ago and was diagnosed with depression for the second time. In the mornings, I would get up with no motivation to do anything. I would wish the hours at work away so that I could get home and not have to think about it. I was very negative and didn't want to do anything. I often shunned friends in preference for staying in on my own and playing poker online, which I use as a release. I found poker would help me as I've always played it, and involves a high level of concentration and thinking. However, as soon as I would finish a session and get back to the real world, I would start to have negative feelings again. This wasn't a good position, and I began to dislike my job for no real reason. I work with some great people and don't mind the work that I have to do. Whilst I wouldn't say it's my dream job, I'm in a rather lucky position. So my friend gave me your podcast. I had experienced hypnotherapy before, as I used a local therapist to help me quit smoking, which I did until 2 months ago. Since I listened to your podcast for the first time, which I forget which one it was, my mind has been open to the fact that it's me who controls the way I feel through the way I think. Listening to your lesson each time gives me some really useful things that I can apply to my life. Yesterday, I tried the chained anchoring to help me become more motivated at work, and I think it's having some impact, but maybe it's a bit early to tell for sure. Although when I look at my knuckles for a long time, I have had some strange looks. I've listened to probably 15 of your podcasts and can honestly say without them, I would still be stuck in a rut. The doctor organised a counsellor for me, which I haven't yet attended, but probably will, but don't see how they would have anywhere near the impact on my life that you have had. So here I am today, taking my antidepressants and using the techniques you have taught me on a daily basis, and I've seen a huge improvement in a short time. Hoping that I will finish the course of drugs and use this technique to help myself moving forwards. It's so weird emailing you, as I feel like I know you. I've listened to your voice every day for the past weeks. I can't thank you enough for all of your hard work. You've been a guiding light for me to start to sort out my inner conflicts and feelings of depression. The podcast you did on meditating was one of my favourites. I've been doing it twice a day for 5 to 10 minutes, and this has helped me to be calm and collected, and importantly, to get a good night's sleep. I have a long way to go, but I feel I've started the most important journey of my life so far. I'm considering saving to do an NLP course, but that could take a while. I feel I would really get some great stuff from it and be able to use it in all aspects of my life. Anyways, I've rambled on for more than long enough. I shall leave you to your work. I'm sure for every one person that emails you, there are thousands that need to experience what your podcast has to offer. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And please, please, please keep up the fantastic work that you, and I'm sure everyone else at People Building do. 1,000 thank yous and my very warmest regards, Doug. Ah, so that's why I'm still doing it, guys. You know, if there's any good reason for me to continue with this show, that's it. One last one, just to pick up the tempo then. Paul said, I found your People Building podcast on iTunes and have to say they are a great help. Wondered if you could recommend any NLP practitioners. Many thanks for your time, help and energy. If you're looking for a practitioner, I'd recommend going to the ANLP website. You can Google it and find it online and find someone who's local to you. If you enjoy the People Building podcast, you will simply love our Hypnosis MP3 audios to download from the People Building website. Our titles include Quit Smoking, Confidence, Health Improvement, Hypnosis audios for Fears and Phobias, Addictions, Habits and Compulsions, Emotional Improvement, Personal Development and Weight Loss. Each Hypnosis audio contains a full hypnotic induction and deepener with background relaxation music as featured featured at the end of each of the People Building podcasts. Each hypnosis audio has been recorded by me in full hypnotic voice. And if we don't have the hypnotic audio that you require, then all you need to do is send an email to gemma@peoplebuilding.co.uk to have one created to your requirements. Each hypnotic audio is in an MP3 format so that it can easily be downloaded to your MP3 player or downloaded and burnt onto CD disc. If you'd like to feature our hypnotic products and ebooks on your website, we'll pay you 65% commission for everything that you sell. Please visit www.peoplebuilding.co.uk and visit the hypnosis scripts and audios page. Okay, people, so we're moving now into that point in the show when it's time for you to relax. So do not listen to this section of the show if you are driving or operating machinery or at any other time when you need to be awake and alert. So allow yourself to assume a comfortable position now, and just as soon as you're ready, you can close your eyes. And as those eyes close, feel that relaxation melting from the top of your head down through your eyes, into the cheekbones and into the jaw. And it's as if your head can take a nice relaxing holiday. And let's take now a few nice deep breaths, breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. One more time. Breathing in and breathing out. And you can continue with that nice rhythmic, relaxing breathing as I talk now directly to your unconscious mind. And every part of you is relaxed within, from the top of your head all the way down to the tips of your toes. And I want you to imagine now that in that nice relaxed state of mind, that you can begin to create within some new, very special, quite magical abilities. That you now can begin to retrain your mind to focus your thinking on the thoughts you would most like to think, using the positive experiences that you have had in your life so far to retrain your mind into noticing how your mind can wander to those pleasant, useful memories whenever you have a moment to rest your mind. And perhaps those thoughts will be happy and laughing thoughts. Perhaps there'll be memories of fun and sunshine. Perhaps achievements or goals that you set out to do and did. I wonder if you can remember a time in the past when you're feeling really very peaceful. Once again, just by remembering that time right now. And you can take all of those experiences, each positive memory you can remember, and keep it at the front of your mind, so that in the future, whenever you have a moment to think about thoughts you thought you had forgotten, those positive memories will emerge, and you'll hold them firm in place of those old anxious thoughts that you used to think about, creating for yourself now a quick and easy access to more useful and positive memories. And with those old negative thoughts that you used to think about, no longer spending quite so much time and energy considering those, seeing them differently. Because you're moving on. You've had enough of those old negative thoughts, and you're moving onwards and upwards now, towards a better and more positive future for yourself. Onwards and upwards. And those old negative thoughts will never again be allowed to bother you in the ways that they had before. You remember the feeling of never again. The power and determination that never again has. When you absolutely and totally commit yourself to never again allowing those feelings or thoughts or behaviors to happen. You make a stand. You take control. And you will never again permit unwelcomed, unresourceful, or unuseful thinking. Because you are you, and you are in charge of you, only you, and in the whole huge world, there is no one else quite like you. You are an individual. A unique and beautiful being. And you remember that now. You remember that about yourself. And that's why you're taking control. To make your life the very best for yourself it possibly can be. Now in a few moments, I'm going to count back from 5 up to 1. And when I reach 1, it will be time for you to open your eyes, feeling fully and completely awake and alert. unless it's time for you now to drift off into a peaceful, restful sleep, in which case you can ignore my count. But for everyone else, starting now at 5 and moving up to 4, 3, 2, and 1, with your eyes open now, wide awake, bright and breezy, welcome back. So, we're done. Show done. I've managed to get through it even with the croaky, coughing voice that I have. I promise to be on better form when you hear from me next, which will be on Wednesday, the 5th of May, 2010. And that show is going to be all about something that you might not have heard of before, but I absolutely know you're going to find this so interesting. I've mentioned it briefly in the shows before, and I want to do a whole show on it because I think it's a really interesting subject. It's called Dirk Hammer Syndrome. I won't go into what it is now, but basically it tells you how it is that negative emotions can have a real effect on your health and well-being, and how it is that you can then start to take control of those negative emotions to avoid getting ill in the future. So look forward to speaking to you then. Meanwhile, do get in touch, gemma@peoplebuilding.co.uk. There's a chance that I may not be here when the next show is due to go out. So I don't quite know what's happening with the whole holiday to Vegas thing. I don't know when that's going to be happening now. The best I can do is to say to you, be on my Facebook. So on Facebook, I'm HypnoGem, HypnoGem, or on Twitter. Again, that's also HypnoGem. If you find me on there and there's any updates about whether the next show is going to be going out or what's happening, then I'll let you know via Facebook. That's the best way to be kept in the loop. Meanwhile, I look forward to speaking to you again in 2 weeks' time. Do keep in touch and have a great couple of weeks. Bye for now.